This is Jordan Sekulow. What did you think about the debate last night? Doesn't mean a thing in this presidential race.
Now, with respect to Fannie Mae,
really the match that lit this fire was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I'll bet you may never even have heard of them before this crisis.
We're going to have to help ordinary families be able to stay in their homes.
They're the ones that, with the encouragement of Senator Obama and his cronies and his friends,
make sure that they can pay their bills,
went out and made all these risky loans, gave them to people that could never afford to pay back,
deal with critical issues like health care and energy.
Some of us that stood up 2 years ago and said, we've got to enact legislation to fix this. We've got to stop this greed and excess.
This bill that he talked about wasn't his own bill. He jumped on it a year after it had been introduced.
Democrats in the Senate defended what Fannie and Freddie were doing. They resisted any change.
And it never got passed.
Meanwhile, they were getting all kinds of money and campaign contributions.
And I never promoted Fannie Mae.
Senator Obama was the second highest recipient of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac money in history.
And we're going to have to change the culture in Washington so that lobbyists and special interests aren't driving the process.
Second highest recipient of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac money in history.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're talking, of course, about the presidential debate last night. That was some quotes and comments put together by our producer, Eric Dye. From the debate between Barack Obama and John McCain, what do you think? Did anything really change? I'll tell you the truth, and this may sound cynical, but I really do believe in that Drudge Report headline that went up last night right at the end of the debate. I think it's still up right now, and it just had a picture of the two debating, and it said boring. Now, folks, you know, I do this every day on the radio. We talk about these issues. These issues don't typically bore me. But the truth is that neither candidate really came out with any firepower, in my opinion. It was the same rhetoric. Maybe some were better than before and worse on other things. But it was basically the same ideas. I thought the biggest moment of the debate was when John McCain said that he wanted to buy up and put a program together to buy up all of the mortgage programs. What do you guys think about that? Buying up another $300 billion plan to buy up home mortgages, and then so that they'll buy the actual mortgage, set a fixed rate. It will cost the government a lot of money. It'll only apply to people who are probably about to get into foreclosure, but who put money down. So I'd say it's not going to help people who did the no money down mortgage payments. This would only help those who were still qualified financially at the time when they got into these mortgages, but then when the rates started going up. What do you think about the government getting involved there? I mean, when you talk about the economic issues, do you see a big difference between the approaches now of these two major party candidates? I want to hear from you about it today on the program. 1-800-684-3110. I thought, you know, the debate really jumped around a lot of topics. Of course, again, the economy developed. There weren't a lot of discussion about any of the social issues. I've been looking for that and listening for that, and it just doesn't seem to be coming up. And I'll go to Drew Ryan and Than Bennett in our D.C. Government Affairs office there in Washington, D.C. Guys, we got about a minute and a half left before our first break. What do you think about, what are your reactions from the debate? Did it matter? Does it mean anything? Who did it help? Who did it hurt?
Well, Jordan, I think as long as the economic crisis remains first and foremost among voters' minds, John McCain needed to land several body blows to Barack Obama last night during this town hall forum slash debate, and he didn't do it. You know, there are a couple times that I thought he got close and never pressed his advantage, so it's going to be interesting. I mean, the poll numbers reflect it, especially if you look at Scott Rasmussen, a pollster that I pay attention to. He had Barack Obama at 8 points before last night's debate, and this morning Barack Obama is still up 8 points. So John McCain, if he wants to win this thing, he's going to have to seriously look at retooling over the next couple of weeks and find a message where he has solid footing and really begin to push. But last night, I think things remain status quo.
Than, what do you think?
Well, Jordan, I think you hit it on the head. I think the one issue that's going to get play over the next few days is what's going to be termed this McCain plan. You know, the federal government authorized essentially $700 billion for this bailout. Well, McCain came out last night, and he wants to go further. I mean, he wants to go a price tag of about $300 billion to help homeowners. We can get into this, but I think the point he's going to make is that the federal government mandated these bad loans. Now they need to take responsibility for them. Differing opinions, but that's what the claim he's going
to
make.
Folks, when we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's the number to call if you want to talk to us on air today about the debate. I'm encouraging, we are running out of time to get you our copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook. It's absolutely free. Get one for yourself. Get one for your pastor as well. Call right now. Get your free gift. 877-989-2255, the ACLJ Election Handbook, 877-989-2255.
It's one of the most important rights we have as citizens of the United States, the right to vote. The American Center for Law and Justice wants to encourage you to participate in this November's election. The ACLJ won't tell you who to vote for, but the ACLJ certainly wants to encourage you to be active. Exercise your First Amendment rights during this election season and make it a point to cast your ballot on Election Day. The ACLJ has prepared a special booklet just for you, free of charge, this election season. It's called the ACLJ Election Handbook, a critical resource to help you through what can sometimes become a confusing journey for Christians in exercising your rights to be active and participate fully in the political process. Get this important resource now. Find out the do's and don'ts this election season. Call now for your free copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And now there's a new way you can stand with the ACLJ.
ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow with news about an important new way to stay in touch with the ACLJ, the ACLJ Wireless Service.
With an ACLJ wireless phone, you'll get special updates from me straight to your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. There's flexible and affordable calling plans. ACLJ Wireless, the latest member benefit that saves you money as you support the ACLJ. Other services include digital phone service, DSL for faster internet, and DirecTV. Call ACLJ Member Services, 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at aclj.org/benefits.
This is my right.
The middle class need a rescue package, and that means tax cuts for the middle class. It means help for homeowners so that they can stay in their homes.
That was Senator Barack Obama last night from the debate. Of course, John McCain, his solution for homeowners, for many homeowners, would be the government actually buying the mortgages in many of these situations, giving you a fixed rate through the government. This program would cost about $300 billion. And I was thinking, as we were coming into the break, that sounds nice. But of course, these qualifications for that are very difficult. And then we're paying it. Now we're going to be in the home mortgage business where we're going to be setting people's fixed rates. And of course, all of you that know that have been in the home buying process and those kind of activities know that this kind of program could help a lot of people, but it's not what they signed up for. And most people understand when you sign these mortgage rates that if it's not a fixed rate, then it's going to go up in this period of time. So I'd like to get your opinion on that. What do you think about John McCain's plan? I think it's a diversion from the most basic Republican Party principles, usually, which are defined as more personal independence, personal welfare, to take care of yourself, those kind of the Protestant work ethic, if you will. So I want to hear from you on that. Call us at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. Lots of calls coming in. Mary's calling from Connecticut on line 3. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. If Mr. Obama and Christopher Dodd of Connecticut and hundreds of Democrats were recipients of this Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac monies, why is there not an investigation going on into this, or will there be one, and shouldn't they be prosecuted or give those monies back? And
What they're talking about is usually actually it's donations from people who are part of it, so and former staff, things like that. And it's true, Fannie and Freddie Mac, I think about 80% of the top executives there are usually from the Democrat side, though 20% are Republicans. And Barack Obama is quick to point out that Senator McCain's campaign manager, his lobbying firm, has an interest in Fannie Mae and does some work there. But Barack Obama's obviously gotten a lot more money. Let's listen to John McCain and Barack Obama talk about this last night.
Some members of Congress defended what Fannie and Freddie were doing. They resisted any change. Meanwhile, they were getting all kinds of money and campaign contributions. Senator Obama was the second highest recipient of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac money in history.
Now, with respect to Fannie Mae, what Senator McCain didn't mention is the fact that this bill that he talked about wasn't his own bill. He jumped on it a year after it had been introduced, and it never got passed. And I never promoted Fannie Mae.
That was Senator Barack Obama, of course, Senator McCain as well. This is a very interesting discussion going on, Mary, in line of what's happening now in the economy. We're again today seeing the stock market, which rose a little bit today, fell, then rose, now has fallen back down to another 229 points down. The Dow is at 9,217. To just think that last week we were still at 10,500, 10,700, even after that big dip, now below 9,000, below 10,000, looking like we could go below 9,000 before the end of this week. Let me go to Drew Ryan. Drew and Than, you guys have a lot of experience with the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mae, and their relationship with Capitol Hill, former staffers, people like that, or those who are currently in the House and even the Senate who used to work there. What do you think about this whole kind of the finger-pointing going on, or is it more than that? Is what happened here a really serious charge?
Well, there's a lot going on, Jordan, and actually Mary brings up a valid point in the sense if you look at the top 10 members of Congress that have received political donations either from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's political action committees or individual donations from employees of those two entities, Chris Dodd, who heads up the Senate Financial Services, as well as Barack Obama, are the number one and two recipients of those funds, upwards of $120,000 in political donations. Chris Dodd over a period of 10 years, Barack Obama over a period of 2 years. Now, real quickly, going back to the point that was made, John McCain's campaign manager, Rick Davis, also, his firm lobbied for Fannie Mae and was receiving upwards of $10,000 and $15,000 per month to lobby for them. But I think a couple components need to be addressed, Jordan, and that is the role of Acorn. We've been hearing about them in the news recently, the community organizers that Barack Obama used to work for in their fraudulent voter registration. Them pushing what is known as the Community Reinvestment Act and basically foisting predatory loans upon Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the whole culture that's going on there. Now, going back real quickly, Jordan, to Mary's question regarding is there an investigation going on? Literally yesterday, Chairman Henry Waxman of the Government Reform Committee over on the House side declared that, yes, he is going to begin a committee investigation of the practices of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. In fact, it looks like there's also going to be a grand jury investigation. And I got to tell you, Jordan, though, until Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are privatized and in a sense taken off the government dole, this whole government bailout thing is basically putting a Band-Aid over the problem. The root cause has not been addressed until it is. I think we're just going to repeat this whole vicious cycle over again.
These are a lot of tough issues, folks, which is why we want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. It's also why we're offering our ACLJ election handbook absolutely free, our free gift to you. We're running out of time, folks. I don't see by the end of this week, maybe even in the next day or two, that we'll be able to get this handbook to you anymore, which means if you need the handbook, and I know you do, if you're listening to this program, you're someone involved in activism, you're grassroots, you want to know what your church can do. Can you do a voter registration at your church? Can you do get out the vote at your church? Can your pastor give a sermon about the importance of exercising your civic duty to vote? You'll find out all of those answers, what you can and can't do, what's legal, what's not, organizing the church. And all of that information specifically for this election cycle, for this presidential race, 2008, you need to call and get your free ACLJ election handbook right now. And I encourage you, request one for your pastor as well. We'll get you a couple copies if you need that. But you need to call today, 1-877-989-2255. That's the toll-free number you call. Let me give it to you again. Call this number, 1-877-989-2255, to get your absolutely free ACLJ election handbook. We want those of our listeners to want to get involved in grassroots to be involved in this election cycle, and we want you to know how to do it appropriately. So call right now, 877-989-2255. We're running out of time to get you the handbook, but let's get back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Roberta calling from California, Colorado on line three. Roberta, welcome to JSecio Live.
It's Roberta from Colorado, but that's Roberta. Okay. My statement is, Sarah Palin just talked about personal responsibility. Did John McCain just throw her under the bus?
You know, I don't know if he's exactly thrown her under the bus. I don't know if I'll go that far, because I heard some others talking about this plan. Mitt Romney, after the debate, who's, of course, got a lot of economic knowledge from his former business dealings, and others on the Republican side say, you know, we're at a moment that is not typical. This is not unusual. This is right on the edge of a major, major crisis, so it takes outside-the-box thinking. That being said, it makes me nervous that the government may be getting involved in the home mortgage business. We're already bailing out these companies, $700 billion, just another $300 billion. That means over $1 trillion this year. If John McCain got his way into this bill, $1 trillion of government bailout programs now in the home mortgage business makes me nervous. But Than, what do you think about that? I mean, are we at a point now in the country where with the stock market falling, people losing their investments, that this kind of plan, even though not typically something you'd align with economic conservatives, even social conservatives who understand the personal independence, is this just kind of the plan that's going to get through with either party?
It's kind of looking that way, Jordan, and I think this is an important component to think about when we have this discussion. Both of the candidates are trying to point the finger at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and, you know, they are to blame to a great extent. But one thing that isn't getting mentioned is that Congress definitely has blood on their hands on this. I mean, Congress, when I was working on the House side several years ago, we did something called the Community Reinvestment Act. And in that act, we mandated that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac go into these subprime markets and offer these risky loans. So it is something that they didn't do on their own volition. It's something that Congress made them do. So now that the loans have gone bad, Senator McCain last night said, you know, we kind of forced them down this road. Now we need to buy them back. My problem with that is if we continue to do this and we continue to take responsibility for the bad loans, why would Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or a private industry, why would they change their practices? If they know there's no risk, why wouldn't they go continue making the money on the deal, close the deal, and just let the federal government bail them out?
And what kind of precedent does this set, folks, for those who are looking out there to buy a home? This means even if you barely qualify, you're getting from this that there's precedent that if you barely qualify, that's enough. Put some money down and get into a house that you really can't afford. And maybe the government will come bail you out of it so that you'll get a fixed rate so that your mortgage won't go up. So as long as you can afford that initial mortgage, you're going to be fine. And that's what the precedent sets with people. And I think, you know, this can affect not just a lower class, but also up through the middle classes of people who are going to get involved in debt they can't afford, now expecting the government to come in and fix things every time if these plans do go through. Let me take one more call very quickly. John from Texas. John, you got about 15 seconds. Very quickly, you're on the air.
Yes, Jay, how you doing? Basically, I just wanted to know if you could talk just briefly about the accusations of the AIG spending money with, for leisurely expenses.
Unbelievable, John. It's unbelievable. Less than a week after AIG got $85 billion in our tax money, the tax money you and I pay, an $85 billion loan from the government, they sent their corporate executives on a $440,000 retreat in California. I mean, that's unbelievable. You know, if your company's doing well and the stockholders and the shareholders are doing well, then send your executives on the retreat. No one cares. That's fine. Reward them for their good work and hard work. But after getting an $85 billion taxpayer-paid loan from the government, unbelievable. I'm sure there's going to be investigations into that. I heard it on TV today and radio yesterday as well. But folks, as we go into this next break, we'll continue to take your calls. And I've got to urge you, call, get your ACLJ election handbook today. It is absolutely free, but you got to call today to make sure you get it in time. Get one for your pastor too. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255.
Now there's a great new way to stay in touch with the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Wireless. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
With ACLJ Wireless, you'll get special updates from me and be able to get critical information fast, right from your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
The ACLJ Wireless service, 10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. Choose from the most popular phones. Flexible and affordable calling plans starting at $29.99 with every 6 months of service free. And keep your existing cell number.
By using ACLJ Wireless, you're helping the ACLJ stand up for your rights.
ACLJ Wireless Service from ACLJ Member Services. Call now. 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at acljwireless.com. It's one of the most important rights we have as citizens of the United States, the right to vote. The American Center for Law and Justice wants to encourage you to participate in this November's election. The ACLJ won't tell you who to vote for, but the ACLJ certainly wants to encourage you to be active. Exercise your First Amendment rights during this election season and make it a point to cast your ballot on Election Day. The ACLJ has prepared a special booklet just for you, free of charge, this election season. It's called the ACLJ Election Handbook, a critical critical resource to help you through what can sometimes become a confusing journey for Christians in exercising your rights to be active and participate fully in the political process. Get this important resource now. Find out the do's and don'ts this election season. Call now for your free copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Nailing down Senator Obama's various tax proposals is like nailing Jell-O to the wall. There's been five or six of them, and if you wait long enough, there'll probably be another one. But he wants to raise taxes.
We're going to have to take on entitlements, and I think we've got to do it quickly. We're going to have a lot of work to do, so I can't guarantee that we're going to do it in the next 2 years, but I'd like to do it in my first term as president.
You know, it's interesting. That was, again, Senator McCain, Senator Obama last night in the debate. At one point in the debate, Senator Obama actually said that he would cut spending. He would actually cut government spending. Now, what we don't understand is that some of that cut comes from the fact that he's going to raise taxes on the middle class, especially. Let's play that.
I want to provide a tax cut for 95% of Americans. 95%. If you make less than $250,000 a year, you will not see a single dime of your taxes go up. If you make $200,000 a year or less, your taxes will go down.
Now, that's interesting, but if you are in that group that makes over $250,000 a year, you're going to be paying more taxes, and then by paying those more taxes, you're going to allow Barack Obama to say he's cut spending in the government, even though he's taking more taxes in. Of course, that's when you look past just the basic statements, which are sometimes shocking to hear from Democrat candidates, that they're going to actually cut spending after mostly of what's been said about Barack Obama is the increase in spending. But I think it's also a sign that all candidates are now figuring out that we're going to be, and you've heard this from Barack Obama and Senator Biden too, that going into these tough financial times, they're not going to get everything accomplished they've been talking about over the last 2 years in this campaign, that they're going to obviously have to rein spending in. And it's interesting to hear both sides really going for some conservative principles and both sides going towards liberal principles, too. Let's go back to the phones. Andy's calling from Indiana on line 5. Andy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, Andy, you're on the air.
Hi, I love your show, by the way. It's really very balanced. But this election is about to drive me insane.
yeah.
We really don't have a solid conservative in the race. We have what I would call Senator McCain, a good Democrat, what a Democrat used to be, and then we have a complete socialist on the other side
right.
of the aisle. And what they're doing, it seems to me, is that they are incrementally marching us into socialism in the direction that both are headed now, unfortunately.
You know, Andy, I felt the same way. I haven't used the strongest terms of socialism yet, but definitely the far liberal approach, buying home mortgages. Yeah, I was listening to Glenn Beck this morning on the way in. I was listening to, you know, what's considered, quote, conservative talk radio. And they're outraged by this. I mean, some people may be spinning it, but they are not. They do not like the way this is going. They don't like the choice they've gotten. And let me go to Than Bennett, because Than, offline, we were talking about your situation with your home mortgage and what's happened now in Washington, D.C., with you and your neighbor basically going in at the same time. Tell everybody what happened.
That's right, Jordan, and I think the caller put it exactly right. I think I'm a perfect case study for why socialism is exactly where we're heading with these policies. 2 years ago, I closed on a townhome with my wife, closed the same week as my neighbor. We bought townhomes with the same floor plan. Everything was identical, but I chose a fixed rate, and he chose one of these no money down, adjustable rates. I've been paying about $400 more per month than he has, mainly to eliminate that risk factor. Over the course of 2 years, that's about 10 grand, Jordan. Well, you know what happens? Now he's going to qualify for some mortgage forgiveness here. You know who's going to pay for that? I am, as a taxpayer.
Right.
So I've spent more than $10,000 over the last 2 years by making a responsible decision, and now I'm going to have to pay for his irresponsible decision. Socialism is exactly what's happening here.
You know, I think what happens here is that it encourages less personal fiscal responsibility. I mean, you know, it's exactly what Than just said with his situation. Than took a, what you could say, more responsible approach, knowing they'd get this fixed rate. His neighbor didn't do so, but now his neighbor's going to benefit from the fact that he didn't make the most fiscally responsible decision in his personal situation. Let's go back to the phones, though. Lots of calls coming in. I got to encourage you to get your free ACLJ election handbook. We are running out of time. I mean, again, we're less than a month now from the election, and we need to get you this handbook as quickly as possible. You need to get in the hands of your pastor so he or she knows what they can do. You need to get it so you know how you can organize, what you can do at your church, what you can't do, the different kinds of activities. We put this together just for 2008, just for our ACLJ and JSecul Live listeners, and we want you to get your free copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook. It's our gift to you to make sure that you get involved in this election cycle. Regardless of the side that you choose to get involved for, we encourage our listeners just to get involved in the process. Call right now. Get your free copy. It's, again, absolutely free. You just have to call this toll-free number today, 877-989-2255. Again, I encourage you to call today because we're getting so close and we got to get these mailed out to you. So call right now, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and get your free copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook online. Let's go back to the phones, run through some calls, as many as we can. Ray from New Hampshire on line two. Ray, welcome to JSecul Live.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan.
Thanks, Ray.
I have a comment and a quick question that I would like to ask after
sure.
that. God bless your ministry. You and your dad do a great job, by the way.
Thank you, Ray. Thanks, Ray.
I think McCain did a great job last night sticking to his guns, but I would really rather seen that no bailout whatsoever. I would have
right.
rather seen these companies fall on their faces, and whoever did anything criminal would be, you know, brought to court and treated as such. Because we have a resilient economy in America, and I believe we would have weathered the storm, mm-hmm. given a couple, 2 or 3 months, and then we would have come out of it. And the stock market is evidence right now that this bailout hasn't really done much yet. So, and my question on a different subject, Jordan, is why is it legal for unions to promote a candidate
right.
when it's not for a church?
Congressional law, Ray. Let me go to Drew Ryan. Thank you for your call, Ray. I think very interesting, and I think you share your views are shared with a lot of conservatives, Christian conservatives, economic conservatives, social conservatives out there who feel like the bailout was a wrong decision. We've tried to let people talk about this as freely as they can, but Drew, the short answer is that there's no reason. There's no rationale behind it. It's just that's what the law is. Congress passed one law that prevented churches from directly organizing for a candidate, but unions are able to.
Well, that's exactly right, Jordan. And it's basically the way that they are structured. And a lot of the union activity that you're seeing is because these unions have created political action committees,
right.
i.e. they can be politically involved. Whereas a lot of churches are simply nonprofits, 501c3s. Therefore, the 1954 rider that was put in there by LBJ does not permit them to be engaged overtly in political things. Now, in fact, even, Jordan, there has been a push to constrain what churches can say, even on what are considered political issues, such
right.
as life, marriage, on down the line. So it's very interesting to see these unions have free run and free reign to do whatever they want in the political arena. And yet, on the other side, potentially, the offsetting faction, churches,
yep.
are not allowed to because of a rider that was attached to the 501c3 code.
I mean, that's your answer, Ray. Sometimes there's just no rationale when talking about Congress and congressional rules. Let's try to grab another call. Glenn from California, you're on the air. Glenn, very quickly.
Yeah, Jordan, I just want to urge you and your father and all Christian organizations like you to get off the economics and focus on abortion. Abortion is the greatest collective sin of our nation. We have blood on our hands for abortion.
You know,
the murder of
Glenn, I understand
children.
Your point here, and the reason I cut you off is because we're running out of time, and I encourage you, you should have listened to the show yesterday. I actually went into that and how at the end of the day, there are two major differences between these candidates, very clear, and that's a personal judgment you have to make. That being said, it's not being talked about. And Glenn, I don't know if that's in the debates. It's not being talked about much in the media. Even I haven't heard as much from the Christian community. Now, we've talked about it a lot on air when people ask us the major differences, when people ask us where the candidates stand. But I think, Glenn, what you got to understand here is that when we're reporting the news on here and asking people to talk, I'll tell you, the calls have been dominated by the economy. And I know that most of our listeners are pro-life, but the calls have been dominated by the economy, and we're trying to provide an ability for people to voice their opinions on the issues that are hottest that day and what they think is most important. Of course, personally, I think that's an issue that can prevent me from voting for someone. But I can't say that for everyone else. But, Glenn, I want to thank you for your call as well. Folks, get your free copy of the ACLJ Election Handbook. We're running out of time today. We'll keep talking about all this stuff this week. But call right now. Your free copy. We'll get it to you. 877-989-2255.